Sorry we're late.
Hi, very nice to see you. Thank you for coming. And you know I'm recording some
absolutely
stuff. Yeah, good.
Okay, well, we'll bring our thoughts to you in a moment. Hello, yes, hello, Clive. Sorry, but Jeff had a flat. No. That was a good start.
Yes, Darcy Bell. Clive, just introduce yourself.
There's even music. Now, do you want the music off?
Yeah. Oh, no.
You're
no,
happy,
no,
right? Right, okay.
But do you mind just saying who you are?
Oh, dear, dear. Okay, I'm Clive Payne. I'm a trustee of the Historic Churches Trust.
Yes. And why do you know about churches?
Well, since the age of about 12, my parents used to take us out to visit stately homes and churches, and I've just got hooked on churches, on their beauty, and of course the religious context of their use as well.
So, what should we, Kevin?
Do you want
to
talk
about?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about
Suffolk,
yeah, Suffolk,
yeah,
in general?
We'll yeah. So you're Suffolk born, aren't you?
Yes.
So this is in your blood.
I'm one of those rare people in our profession who actually, you know, first job I ever got out of university was back here again. At St. Louis.
But tell us what your official title was in your role here.
Right. In my day job, as it were, before retirement, I was the advisory teacher for archives and local history, and within the Church of England for 35 years I've been a lay reader, which is the Anglican way of saying a lay pastor. So I dress up my funny clothes on Sunday and get into pulpits and take services and preach and so on, and I go to other churches in the area, places like Risby and
your
and
home Western. Church as well, is that?
My home church is this church, where we're standing at the moment, which is St Mary's in Bury.
So you've got Bury with St Mary's, a very grand church, and the cathedral next door.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure a lot of visitors would say that seems a town which is perhaps overreaching itself in having these two very grand churches, as well as all the other ones.
Well, of course, the real reason is, and the reason that the churches are so close together, which is again another feature that people always mention, was that in the medieval period, we had the huge monastery here, the Abbey for St Edmund, which was purely for the pilgrims and the monks, and St Mary's and St James's were the two parish churches. So with the population that we had, we needed these two churches, but this was the Sunday place for all the townspeople.
I see.
And in 1914, 100 years ago, one of the churches was chosen to be the new cathedral for the new diocese of St Edmundsbury and Ipswich, and St Mary's was still, as it is today, a medieval building with very little alteration apart from a Victorian slight makeover, whereas St James's had lost its chancel, rebuilt in the Georgian period, then rebuilt again in the Victorian period, and the roof over the nave of St James's, which was very much like the sort of roof you can see in places like Long Melford and Lavenham, was converted into the 1860s to almost an imitation of the hammer beam roof here in St Mary's. So the church had been mucked about a bit,
yes,
and so therefore it was the one that could obviously be then extended and changed for a cathedral
and
status.
And mucking about, just continued to
absolutely
the tower and
with the absolutely amazing Millennium Tower, which of course is the Christian memorial for the millennium.
Yes.
And there it is, just out there.
And it's a wonderful, striking feature all round Bury St Edmunds, isn't it? And as you approach the town from whichever direction.
And the glinting little turrets on the top, and
yes.
So, yeah, absolutely amazing.
Yes.
So should we have a look at some things in Mary's
sure.
kind of characterise it?
Like all churches, St Mary's has the nave, a place where the congregation sit. It has a chancel for the clergy and the choir, and then aisles on the side, a tower, and larger churches like St Mary's and Blythburgh, Long Melford, Lavenham, all those huge churches, then have chapels on the side of the chancel. And in our own particular case here, we have a royal burial, and just to the left of the sanctuary. Shall we walk through and just have a look? You can't find this obviously in many churches, but
I've never been down to this end of the church.
Why?
I come here a lot with civic events. And
of
so
course,
on, but I never,
you never go to the sacred portals. Yeah. Come into the sanctuary where we go up a few steps, and then right in the corner. Left of the communion table is this rather unimpressive slab, which is in fact the resting place of this young lady, who we have engravings of. This is Mary Tudor.
Yes.
There's lots of Marys in the Tudor period, and this is the sister of Henry VIII, and who was married aged 18 to the 53-year-old King Louis XII of France, and he He and she were married in October 1514, and he died on the 1st of January 1515. And at that point, Henry VIII wanted his sister back in order to sort of put her onto the marriage market, because she had been an English princess. She's now the Dowager Queen of France, one careful owner. So in the second-hand sense, she's a valuable commodity. He sends across his best friend, Charles Brandon, the Duke of Suffolk, to fetch Mary back. To cut a very long story short, they marry in France without his permission,
which is definitely what was not intended.
No. And so there's a bit of tension, but eventually Mary and Charles are forgiven, and they come back to England, and they actually live in the middle of Suffolk, in a little village called Westhorpe, just to the north of Stowmarket, where they build a huge Tudor mansion. Very much like sort of Hengrave, with an open courtyard in the centre and a building around on four sides. And when she died in 1533, she was buried in the abbey in great state and pomp. And of course, a few years later, Brother Henry shuts down all the monasteries, and I think for no other reason that she was called Mary, and so was this church, her body was ordered to be transposed to here, and it once had a great box tomb around it, so it did look rather impressive.
Yes.
And in the 1770s, the church authorities here didn't like the idea of this huge box here, which was actually shortening the communion rail, and so they took the box down and found Mary's embalmed body wrapped in lead inside. And the workmen, as you might expect, with their curiosity, opened up the lead, found her embalmed body, and then gave her a haircut and sold off bits of her hair. And there is a little locket in the Moises Hall Museum that still has a lock of her hair.
So it's a coincidence that the church is called St Mary's,
yes,
and we have
Mary Tudor. And of course, this is the original top of the thing, which is inscribed Mary Queen of France,
yes,
in 1533.
My background is English language, so I'm always interested in something like this. Partly where you get what appears to us sometimes kind of random capitalisation, but you also get no distinction between S's and F's.
Yeah.
Until standardisation.
So what you actually get here, we're looking on the audio diary. It's a bit difficult to do this, but
I'm
we're
going
actually
to take a photo.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, we're actually looking at inscriptions,
yes,
where they're using what looks like an F, but it's a long S, still used in German, and we're looking at the word here, dissolution.
Yes.
So when they want you to stress S, they put one long and one short. And they only ever use it in the middle of a
yes,
word.
That's right.
It never comes
and
in
the use of capitals
yeah.
on nouns.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Dramatic,
that was absolutely standard.
Yes.
And Queen Victoria gave a window to the church, which is just over here,
right,
which actually tells the story.
I'm just going to get a photo of this.
Yes.